Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Journey of the Soul, a practical guide to emotional and spiritual growth by Bill Gaultier and Christy Gaultier. Narrated by William Saris and Sarah Zimmerman. Christ Stages. Confidence in Christ, the C stage. Following Jesus Christ begins with receiving His forgiveness and new life. Help in Discipleship, the H stage. We grow in community with Christ followers and by practicing spiritual disciplines. Responsibilities in Ministry, the R stage. We grow when we use our gifts to serve God and bless people. The Wall, Transition. Spiritual dryness or getting stuck is a hidden opportunity for deeper growth and joy. Inner Journey, the I stage. We experience spiritual renewal through empathy, emotional growth, and longing for God. Spirit-led Ministry, the S stage. Our greatest joy and impact is to act with the presence and power of the Spirit to serve others. Transforming Union, the T stage. Our journey of the soul culminates with being united in the generous love of Jesus Christ. Introduction. A few years ago, I, Bill, hiked the Tunnel Trail in Santa Barbara, California, with my son David. It's a super steep and strenuous trail up and down a quick succession of 3,000-4,000-foot mountain peaks. At times, the trail disappeared. In fact, we were warned that people had gotten lost there, even the search and rescue team. But those challenges made it a more exciting adventure. We had been enjoying the hike, the sights, and our conversation, when suddenly David stopped in his tracks. I bumped into him as he yelled, "Rattlesnake!" Right beside the trail ahead, and hiding under a bush, was a big rattler. It rattled its tail loudly, and its head was poised to strike. We bushwhacked on the other side of the trail to get around it. Later, we were hiking along, and again David stopped. "This isn't the right trail," he announced. "We need to go back. You sure have to keep your wits about you on this trail." I replied, "Actually, I need to have your wits about me. He's an Eagle Scout." The path of life is like that. We need a guide to know where we're going and to stay encouraged. We all want to thrive in our life with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, but sometimes we can miss His path or get stuck in a dark valley. God seems far away. Bible reading feels dry. Prayer feels like going through lists. Church becomes boring. Or the activities that used to nourish us have stopped working. To make matters worse, typical approaches to spiritual growth that focus only on beliefs and behavior don't lead to lasting change. You're more than a brain on a stick or a human doing. You're a soul on a journey with Jesus. Your whole person needs to be shepherded with empathy and wisdom that's tailored for you. Drawing from decades of study and over 70,000 hours of providing therapy and spiritual direction, my wife Christy and I have developed the Christ Stages of Faith. This model offers you a map of your soul that says, "You are here." We help you identify which of the six stages you're currently experiencing, or whether you're at the wall. Then we guide you along a proven path of following Jesus to grow in emotional and spiritual health. We do this through our unique mapping tool, examples of people on the journey, insights on each stage, and suggested steps to grow within your stage. Growing in the lessons and opportunities of your current stage prepares you for the next stage. It's an adventure of discovery in which you gain language for your struggles, needs, and opportunities. Since a community of believers often has people in each phase of the journey, it's vital to understand these stages of faith to enhance our empathy and acceptance of one another. Best of all, we provide customized recommendations to guide you in each stage with scriptures, soul care practices, and spiritual disciplines. Furthermore, our small group leader guide and free videos help you and your friends apply the book material together. The Christ Stages model is the lighted path of life for following Jesus that you and your friends have always needed. We've been teaching it since 2013 in our Soul Shepherding Institute. All kinds of Christ followers and leaders have found these stages of faith to provide the framework for a powerfully transforming program of emotional and spiritual growth in the image of Christ. Bill, it's pouring rain, and the weather report shows no signs of the storm letting up, Dallas Willard said to me on the phone one January day. Jane is afraid for you to drive on the freeways. I'll be careful, I replied. I'd still like to come talk with you, unless you need to reschedule. I'll be here in my office, and I'd much rather talk with you than keep digging through my stack of papers. After 2 hours of dog paddling on congested freeways, I was running and splashing through puddles on the University of Southern California campus. I had my Psalms prayer book carefully pressed against my chest, underneath my raincoat. In those days, I was carrying it everywhere, in imitation of the anonymous pilgrim of the 19th century who walked barefoot through the Russian countryside, praying the Jesus prayer and blessing everyone he met. I looked up into the rain and smiled at the statue of Dallas's mentor, John Wesley, offering a blessing. Just ahead was the nearly 100-year-old Mud Hall of Philosophy building, modeled after an Italian monastery. It has a tall clock tower that chimes, statues of philosophers, gargoyles, and a cloistered walkway to a courtyard with a fountain. Ducking inside and out of the rain, I felt cozy. The hard tile floors in the hallway echoed with my footsteps, reminding me of the many times I'd waited outside Dallas's office, surrounded by thousands of books, and heard his footsteps approaching and keeping time as he cheerfully hummed a hymn. But on this stormy evening, he was waiting for me, relaxing in his side chair. As I sat down, he noticed my prayer book and asked to look at it. It was worn out from use, marked up on every page, stuffed full of little papers with my meditations and prayers, and held together by binder rings. He held it gently and slowly thumbed through it. "I see you've been nourishing yourself. The Psalms are the Bible's soul book. Wherever you turn, the passages leap off the page and get hold of your heart to help you ascend to God." Dallas's spirit seemed to soar with the first verse of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have life without lack." Life without lack. You might question that. My life is full of lack. Lack of resources. Lack of health. Lack of justice. Lack of opportunity. Lack of harmony in my relationships. Lack of peace. Is the psalmist living in the real world? Is this life without lack just a fantasy? Dallas wrote, "The psalmist is living in the most real world, a world where Yahweh is present and available and actively involved in the lives of those who know and trust him." We talked about how the 23rd Psalm is a model for our journey of growing in God's grace. He encouraged me, "Psalm 23 covers the whole of the spiritual life in God's kingdom." Best of all, he smiled and said, "When you pray Psalm 23, you find that someone is there waiting for you to greet you and guide you." That's why Dallas soaked his soul in this prayer song almost every morning before he arose from bed. He wrote that it provides an intensive internalization of the kingdom and establishes good epidermal responses of thought, feeling, and action to integrate us into the flow of God's eternal reign. We became quiet as we listened to the pouring rain. I felt as if we were huddled by a fire with Jesus on this cold, stormy night. I felt the warmth of our shepherd's glowing face of love. In those moments, all the blessings God had brought me from praying the shepherd's psalm over my lifetime seemed to come flooding back, calming my anxiety, discerning God's will, comforting a woman with terminal cancer, ministering healing to a woman with a migraine headache, teaching it to our children and watching how it helped them in their daily lives, and sharing its phases of growth with therapy clients and students. In the journey ahead, we'll draw on Psalm 23's progression of renewing metaphors and insights to highlight the Christ stages of emotional and spiritual growth. You'll enjoy green pastures of grace and be guided in the shepherd's good path. You'll find comfort and encouragement in the dark valley. You'll receive a new anointing of the Spirit for how you can serve God. In the end, your soul will sing with David, "My cup overflows. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Verses 5 and 6. As we travel, we'll enjoy growing intimacy with Jesus and, through Him, the Trinity. Our soul comes fully alive as we love God, one another, and all people within our reach. Like Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb, we meet Christ risen when we hear Him speak our name tenderly, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Like Brother Lawrence, we learn to practice God's presence in all that we do. Dear Jesus, our Good Shepherd, as we read, we pray that You personalize Your path of life for each of us. Guide us in the stages of faith so we learn to grow in God's love, joy, peace, and power. Amen.
1. Shepherding Your Soul. To thrive in your life with Jesus, you need soul care and guidance. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." John chapter 10, verse 14. "You might as well divorce me and hire someone to cook and clean," I, Christy, screamed at Bill. "Don't you ever use that word again," he yelled back, and then he picked up his keys and drove away. In the hours he was gone, my rage melted into fear that he wouldn't come back and I'd be on my own with two little children. I felt horrible for using the D word, but I was fed up with Bill's workaholism as a psychologist, pastor, and author. God had gifted and anointed him, but I needed more of his time and energy at home. I felt overwhelmed caring for our children and longed for more intimacy in our marriage. As long as I kept my desires buried, we got along great. But eventually, my hurt and anger would erupt. Then he'd get defensive or angry, and I'd feel more hurt. Later, he'd always apologize, empathize, and try to be more emotionally engaged for me and the kids. But the cycle kept repeating.
A few weeks later, I, Bill, was in my home office writing a proposal to publish my fourth book, but my screen was blank. There was no tapping on the keys, but there was tapping on the door. "Daddy, can you play?" I saw my 3-year-old son's big brown eyes peering at me through the glass doors. He smiled as he held up 2 Hot Wheels cars. "I'm sorry, David. Daddy has to work today."
"But I want to play cars, Daddy."
"I can't now, but we can play tonight." I put my head down, hiding behind my computer screen. I heard him start to cry and peeked over the top of my screen to see tears rolling down his chubby cheeks. Suddenly, Christy swooped in with our 1-year-old daughter Jenny in her arm and took hold of David's hand. She glared at me. I ducked back behind my computer screen. I didn't write any good words that day. Not long after this, Christy and I had a date night, and she tried a different tack to get my attention. Wooing, pleading, crying, and getting angry hadn't pulled me out of my workaholism. This time, she gave me a handwritten card that asked, "Will you co-author with me the lives of our 3 children?" I exclaimed, "You're pregnant," and gave her a big hug. That was a happy evening. But her request to co-author the lives of our children kept convicting my heart. Then, a few days later, I heard God's still, small voice whisper, "Will you take your dream of being a best-selling Christian author and lay it down on the altar? Will you do this out of love for me, Christy, and your children?" I knew this heavenly voice, so I promised, "Yes, Lord, I will never write another book unless You tell me to." Although I believed God's purpose was good, in the months to come I became confused and depressed. I kept asking, Lord, why don't you want me to serve you with my writing? You gave me this gift. Why are you taking it away? Why can't you help me love my family well and write books? I wanted to write books that cultivated intimacy with Jesus and wholeness of life for readers in the way that A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God had done for me as a young adult. Year after year, I waited. I wished my situation was like Richard Foster's. When he obeyed the call of the Lord to give up his dream of writing Celebration of Discipline, God gave it back to him 3 days later. As it turned out, my sacrifice lasted 14 years. I felt like God didn't trust me. I felt lost and stuck because I didn't know about the stages of faith. Have you ever felt like God didn't support your dream? Have you ever been confused or discouraged about your spiritual journey? Downward mobility. During my long season in a spiritual desert, the Lord provided Henry Nouwen as a wounded healer for me. I had heard the famous author and professor of Christian spirituality and psychology preach and had read some of his books. I was shocked that he chose to move from Harvard to L'Arche, from teaching the world's best and brightest students ready to rule the world, to serving in a community for the mentally handicapped who had few words and seemingly no influence. Why would he trade his podium and microphone for a sponge and a bucket of soapy water? He decided to go down in his career. I had been trying to go up. In his little book, In the Name of Jesus, Nouwen confesses that his success was endangering his soul. Even though everyone was telling him he was doing good, inside he was lonely and his prayer life was empty. At first, the spiritual death of leaving his prominent ministry post left him feeling depressed, worthless, and naked, with nothing to offer but his vulnerable self. But then he found community with the mentally handicapped and the freedom to be his true self. He relished the fact that these people didn't read his books or care about his theological acumen. Instead of leading, he was being led. He explains, "They teach me about joy and peace, love and care and prayer, what I could never have learned in any academy. They give me a glimpse of God's first love." He met Jesus anew on the path of hiddenness and downward mobility. He became a caregiver, offering meals, baths, and walks in the garden. He preached simple messages that children could understand. He discovered the power of smiling, remembering someone's name, and giving a hug. Nouwen gave me words for my own emotional distress. Years later, I realized he was describing what we call the inner journey, or the I stage of the Christ stages of faith and growth. I had obeyed the Lord by no longer writing books, doing media appearances, or speaking in front of crowds of people. I was just a therapist and pastor of a counseling ministry. I felt like I was a nobody, going nowhere, and falling into nothingness. I shared my feelings with a counselor, with Christy, and with soul friends. I received empathy, prayer, and affirmation for my true self, apart from my performances. I came to appreciate that the Lord was shepherding my personality and faith. I discovered the value of practicing the little way of Jesus by loving my family, clients, students, and other neighbors with simple kindnesses, open-hearted listening, secret prayers, and life-on-life discipleship. Over some years, I came to value this as much more beneficial than public works for God with fanfare. My sacrifice at the altar no longer felt like a loss. More than ever before, I was enjoying a new closeness with Christ, date nights and soul talks with Christy, playing with my kids, and life as an ordinary human being in God's world that I wouldn't trade for anything. Furthermore, out of the blue one day, I sensed the Spirit whisper, "Your pen will be your pulpit." Then I heard, "Take your pen off the altar and write. Look, your words are on fire." What a surprise! I was so happy the Lord called me to write again. That's when email was just becoming widely used, so I began sending out soul care messages to people. Instead of being a guru writing books for masses of people who needed my wisdom, I was a shepherd of souls writing devotionals for people who needed Jesus. Our Lord said, "Freely you have received, freely give," Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. In just a few years, that turned into 1 million page views a year at soulshepherding.org, with Christy and me leading a growing ministry to pastors and others. Your Journey of the Soul. Healthy faith engages our soul on a path of following Christ Jesus through 6 stages of emotional and spiritual development. To explore these stages, we'll draw on many scripture passages and teachers of psychology and spirituality, including Teresa of Jesus. This 16th century spiritual mother and classic devotional author from Avila, Spain, pictures our soul as a beautiful and expansive interior castle. We follow His Majesty on an adventure through different mansions or stages of prayer and reflection. Little by little, our Lord makes us pure and full of all that is good, and our soul becomes increasingly spacious, ample, and lofty. Notice that your soul isn't a wispy little ghost inside you that floats up to heaven when you die, like it's portrayed in movies. It's actually your whole person. Flowing out from deep inside you, it encompasses your body and expands out into your social world. In other words, your soul is so large that your body is actually inside your soul. That's why people in the same room can feel each other's energy and mood even without talking. Jesus, our shepherd, leads us to drink from waters that nourish and strengthen our soul, Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. The still waters of Psalm 23 are Eden spring water, Psalm 36, verse 8, the Message, the streams that make us glad, Psalm 46, verse 4, the life-giving waters of Jesus' Spirit flowing into us and out from our belly to bless other people, John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, King James Version. Your soul, well cared for by God, invigorates and integrates all the functions of your being, emotions, thoughts, intentions, body, and relationships, into a flow of joyful, abundant, powerful, divine, and eternal life expressed in your unique personality. The story of the anonymous pilgrim of 19th century Russia illustrates the journey of the soul. He was crippled, orphaned, homeless, and had nothing except his father's old Bible and a dream that he could learn to pray continually, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. He found a staretz, spiritual director, who taught him to breathe a prayer thousands of times every day, just like the desert fathers and mothers of the 3rd and 4th centuries. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner, Luke chapter 18, verses 13 and 38. The Jesus prayer was sweet on his lips and in his heart as he walked barefoot from village to village, begging for bread in exchange for whatever work he could do. On his pilgrimage, the Lord transformed him from being a depressed recluse to a joyful disciple of Christ who brought salvation to the lost, healing to the sick, love to his enemies, and intimacy with God to untold millions of people. A map for your journey. A backpacker told me, Bill, that when he was weary on a remote stretch of the Pacific Crest Trail, he encountered trail angels who showed up out of nowhere with water, food, medicine, encouragement, and a map. This reminded me of when our son David was 11 years old, and I took him on a 12-mile hike up Saddleback Mountain near our home in Orange County, California. It was a wonderful father and son adventure, till we headed down and got lost on the backside of the mountain. We were alone, with no map and no cell service. We'd eaten all our food, and it was getting dark and cold. We were scared, and I was beating myself up about not being better prepared. But I kept praying to God for help. About an hour later, we heard the voices of two hikers who had a map and guided us down the mountain. At times, we all need a map with a big red star that says, "You are here." In this book, Christy and I offer you a map of your journey with personalized guidance on the way of Jesus. We expand on the Bible's brief outline of three stages of faith: dear children, young people, and spiritual fathers and mothers, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the Passion Translation. Based on extensive research and field testing, our model for the Christ stages of faith emphasizes following Jesus in a journey of increasing emotional and spiritual health. Confidence in Christ, the C stage. By receiving God's Spirit, we are born from above to begin the great adventure of following Jesus Christ. Help in discipleship, the H stage. We grow in God's grace through community with other Christians and practicing spiritual disciplines like participating in church services and Bible studies. Responsibilities in ministry, the R stage. It's an honor to use our gifts to serve God and others in our church, family, community, or job, but we're prone to get in trouble from being overly ambitious or relying on ourselves rather than the Spirit of God. Through the wall, transition. Due to overworking, spiritual dryness, a faith crisis, or suffering, we may find ourselves at the wall. Usually, this happens in the R stage and is worked through in the I stage, but at each stage we face a roadblock that may become the wall. Inner journey, the I stage. Getting stopped at the wall evokes emotional distress. If we take courage to share our emotions, struggles, and sins with safe people in prayer, then we come into a new intimacy with Jesus and Abba. Spirit-led ministry, the S stage. Now we learn a new way of serving, not by working for God in our own strength, but by working with God in Jesus' easy yoke. We enjoy overflowing with God's grace to others. Transforming union, the T stage. Our life and work become increasingly about practicing the presence of the Trinity in all we do. Joyfully united with Christ, we are more able to love all people, even our enemies. Your progression through the Christ stages or phases of faith is not linear, but circular. Try picturing this map like a 3D spiral, because emotional and spiritual growth in God's grace is an up-and-down journey in which we go back and forth between developmental phases. At any time, we may revisit a previous phase for deeper learning, or remain in one phase for many years. As we'll discuss later, many Christ followers become stuck and do not grow beyond the early stages. Our opportunity is to grow in God's grace at each stage. Even if we experience the T stage, that is not a destination, but a doorway to return to the C stage and the other stages, whether for personal needs or to offer empathy and encouragement for others. The Christ Stages map shows the general path on our journey of increasing union with our Lord.
Your map key. I, Christy, wish I had this map 20 years ago when I was an insecure and overwhelmed young woman who secretly judged and hated her emotional self. I was preoccupied trying to prove my worthiness through good works and service. The map shows me that I had come to the wall in the stage of responsibilities in ministry and was unwittingly resisting the inner journey. It helps me to realize that through accepting and expressing my emotions to God and my friends, and setting my heart's desire on the Lord, I could eventually get through the wall. This model has provided great insight on how I can experience more intimacy, meaning, and power in my life with Christ. In Bill's case, this Christ Stages map would have helped him to understand that when he got depressed after surrendering his dream, he wasn't being judged by God. It was the father of lies attacking him. See John chapter 8, verse 44, and Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The map shines a light on Bill's dark season of spiritual dryness and discouragement at the wall, and helps him see the Spirit of Jesus drawing him into the inner journey. This opens him to the blessing of the Lord, befriending his emotions and inflaming his heart with love. Chapter by chapter, we'll unveil your personal map to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?